This is a continuing episode of a series about the Netflix production of Three Body Problem. There will be medium-level spoilers. So if that's something that bothers you, move on and find a different episode of Sci-Fi Thoughts, like maybe Foundation series.
Should we move on to now? We talked about the characters. We talked about at least the first half of the plot. Should we move forward in the plot?
Do we want to give them a highlight of the plot, roughly, or something? Otherwise, we
kind of got through episode two so far. In episode three, we learn a lot about the three-body problem, how it works. And we get to one of my favorite scenes in the whole first book, which is, they call it Human Abacus, but it's basically a human computer. We learn that the Trisolarans had built a computer before they had even invented electricity. By having humans, or I guess not humans, Santi, hold flags and just turn them black or white. And that creates ones and zeros. And you can create circuits and logic gates and all that just using people. And they were able to try to solve the three-body problem using this computer. And it took 30 million people to build the computer. And after all that effort, we learn even that wasn't enough to solve their problem. And that's when the main characters realize it's not about solving the problem. Right. It's not solvable. It's about surviving. And that's when we learn that the Santiran are on their way. They need to find a new home.
Yep. And they're probably not going to be nice about it. This information leaks out to the... I'm sorry, you called them the Oxford Five?
Yeah.
The Oxford Five. And they start doing things to help pitch in to stop the to prepare for the invasion, because remember the puppet master Wade, the Irish dude, he's organizing a resistance, and they have to solve some big science problems. Because Wade says this, he says, I don't want to, you know, he's already an aged fellow, he says, I want to be alive when the Santi come. So they are solving that problem by having hibernation chambers. So the people are going to go to sleep. And he says he's going to spend, like, what did he say? One day a year?
Oh, a week, a year. He's going to go watch Wimbledon and fix whatever's going wrong and then go back to sleep for another year.
A week, a year. Okay. So he's going to, So he's going to slow down his aging process by a factor of 52. And so he can stretch his lifespan another, whatever. I don't know. I can't do the math right now. So he's probably what? 70, 80?
Yeah. And we should probably mention, you know, we didn't mention, it's going to take the Santiran 400 years to get here.
Yeah.
They're in the closest star system to us, and it's still going to take them 400 years.
Right.
Right. And that's where this is, like, hard sci-fi, in that, you know, they don't try to cop out and say, yeah, they can go faster than light, or they can even go light speed, because that's crazy hard to do in real life. They can only go 1% the speed of light. And, they'll be here in 400 years. So humanity has 400 years to prepare for this invasion. And that's why they need hibernation.
Yeah.
So that they can have people be there, the people they need to be there.
Right. So the people overlooking the project will be around a lot longer. And of course, Wade, even if he only lived another, 30 years in our time, but if you factor that out, multiply it by 52, that gives you roughly
1500 years.
Yeah, that's a lot. But the thing is, it's going to take the Santi 400 years to get here. So, you know.
So it takes like 8 years of his life.
Yeah. And of course, as time passes, medical technology will get even better. So he'll probably live to be much more than just 100 years old. So, so he's got a good plan, I think. I thought it was a good plan. What did you think, Mark?
We can talk about his plans. He has some very bold plans.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into the next big set piece, which is the ship. Okay. So all these ETO members, they're on this ship, and they have this hard drive that they want, because it's all the communications between them and the Santee.
And then I just want to know, why are you saying ETO here?
ETO is the organization.
But they're okay. You go ahead and continue. This is something I might have missed. I'm not sure where you're.
Yeah, let's go. Mike Evans and all the ETO members are on the ship.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about the spaceship, and you were talking about the boat on the water.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the boat before we talk.
Now I'm with you. It's like, what? There's no ETO spaceship. Got
before it. We talk about that one. I just want to get, you know, nobody gets confused because this is one of Wade's plans.
Yeah.
It's coming up. So they're all on the ship, and this is hard drive that we want to have because that's all the communications with Santi.
Right.
And they can't risk destroying it, and they can't risk the ETO members realizing what's happening and destroying it. So they come up with all these plans. What about gas? Takes too slow. What about explode? Like just bombing it? It could destroy the hard drive. They finally settle on one of the main characters, Augie, has invented this very thin wire that can cut through anything because it's so thin. And their plan is, as the ship's passing through the Panama Canal, they'll just set up some of this wire, and the ship's momentum will just slice it all into pieces. So they're essentially like, you know, destroying themselves. You just have to put the wire there in front of them.
The momentum of the ship carries it through the wire like a cheese through a cheese grater, and it slices up the ship into multiple sections.
Yes, and like what's great about the scene is the you don't even see it causing any damage until it starts to stop, and then you see it like a stack of plates falling over. You see them all start to fall off. And it's this great visual. So there's a big question people ask is, well, what if the hard drive was cut by the wires? So they don't answer this. Yeah, they don't answer this in the show, but in the books, the answer is it will be cut so cleanly that any data that's on there can still be recovered because you can just put the pieces back together and you basically have the full hard drive again. And there's no data lost. So they weren't really worried about cutting it.
And I would just answer back that the probability of it getting cut is small because it's a small.
Yeah,
it doesn't use up a lot of volume.
Yeah, you know, it's better than bombing the ship, right?
Because the people use up. I mean, mathematically, you could come up with a probability, and the probability would be pretty small. That small. It's about the size of a portable hard drive.
Yeah, like a portable hard drive, basically. And that plan by Wade is very chilling because there's lots of people on the boat, including children. And this is a big departure from the book. But so in the book, they don't really talk about who's on the boat. But in the Tencent version, they have a line where they basically say everybody on the boat is criminals.
Mm.
They're like, they're all murderers and everything. So you don't feel bad about it. But then the Netflix show is just like, no, there's children there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's because it's a proper like a cult. It's a family cult. I mean, cults usually incorporate families.
It's a difference in style between the two different versions. But
yeah, you're right. Absolutely. That's a good point. That's a difference. Like, that's
Chinese
binary.
Softened it. Well, the American version exacerbated it, you know.
Well, because it's not legal to publish media in China that shows the authorities doing anything wrong or bad. So that would get censored. And so the Tencent version had to. They can't look morally ambiguous because they have to be the right. That's why you could do that in a free
what's
country.
On the hard drive is shocking. It's the final level of the game that I'm assuming was meant for, you know, ETO eyes only, but it basically explains what a SOFON is. And do you want to explain a SOFON to everyone?
Yeah, and I want to explain it by solving a mystery. So remember, people are dying. Am I going to get censored here, Mark? Can I talk about why the people are dying?
Oh, no, it's fine. We already said we're doing Netflix spoilers.
Okay, so the people are dying. Remember, the scientists are dying, and Mark and I were saying it's kind of like a murder. It's a murder thriller. Well, this reveals why they're dying and why their physics got broken is they used the Santi have a trans-dimensional computer AI some kind of system that's got a lot of compute, so it should be intelligent as well, but they don't go into that, so it's probably not that. It's not probably general intelligence. It's just a good, really good tool. But anyways, it can try, since it's trans-dimensional, it can visit Earth, and because it's trans-dimensional, it can change. It can really screw things up and cause science to not work right.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically they took a proton and they basically unfolded it.
They use that word unfold, by the way?
I don't know if they use it in the Netflix version, but basically in three body problem, like the string theory exists. So there's like 11 dimensions folded up inside the proton and you can unfold it like you would, like Jin explains with the bread, how it looks two dimensional, but you can peel layers off. And you can it'll expand as you peel the layers off, as you unfold it to be really big. And so basically you unfold this proton to be really big because it has, you unfold its higher dimensions out into three dimensions. And then they basically etch circuits into it.
Into a photon.
Into a proton to make it a computer.
Oh, proton. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So it has the mass of a proton and everything, even when it's unfolded. And then they fold it back up. Since it's so light, they can send it at light speed towards the Earth, and it can arrive here much earlier than the fleet.
Yeah.
So, and it can start doing a bunch of, you know, harmful stuff, like messing with our science. That's why all the particle accelerators are all messed up. It can make you see things, which is scary.
Mess with you.
You can see countdowns. Yeah. You can see a bunch of stuff, and it can make you and it can spy on you. The Trisolarians know everything that's happening.
Yeah, because a three-dimensional being can cross into a two-dimensional space very simply. Mm. So a multi-dimensional being, more than three-dimensional, can go through any part of the world that it cares to.
Yeah, and they reveal this by having it unfold itself all the way around Earth. Yeah, and then they display the UR bugs to everybody, which is a theme in the series.
Yeah, well, and they that was a quote they lifted from their human sympathizers, who was using.
Yeah.
And it is an example of, I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, he used it as an analogy, right? Oh, and that's another thing we can talk about is the Trisolarians don't know how to lie.
Yeah, poor them.
Yeah. Well, they communicate through thought or something, I guess. So when you're communicating with somebody, all your thoughts are transmitted, so there's no way to lie. So they never realized that humans were lying to them and stuff. So once they found that out, there was no hope of us ever coexisting anymore. We can't be trusted.
Yeah. So that broke the Wenjie's theory that they would cooperate and maybe save us from ourselves. She was shocked when she found out that her husband had accidentally revealed himself to be. He talked about the philosophy of lying to the Trisolarians, and they didn't.
Yep.
The Santi, and they didn't. They didn't react very well. They ended up hanging up on the phone. These are quantum entangled communication devices. That's how they explain that.
Yeah, so they explain the faster than light communications.
Now Wade's team has one of those devices, so they can communicate with the Santi as well. Though they're not really having cordial communication. It's more of like, you know, there's occasional like. I don't know, threat and foreboding is what I see. Growing up has never been easy, even in prehistoric Mesopotamia. Young Akia was the runt of a tribe that's legendary for feats of strength. But Akia prefers feats of intelligence. However, that gets him no respect from his peers. He gets into more trouble when he accidentally disrupts his tribe's corner on the market of hauling goods due to his invention of using levers. This idea becomes so popular that the neighboring tribes no longer require his own tribe's services. To make matters even worse, music television marketers from the future are meddling with the culture of the region. At first, Akia is excited by the strangers, but then realizes that there is a danger in becoming dependent on their gifts. But the strangers' pull is drawing the youth away from all of the tribes. So Akia must find a way to save his people, join the music television marketers with their technological magic, or join with his elders who had rejected him. Caveman Funk, a novelette by Lancer Kind, is available on Amazon Kindle. The series started at episode 273, so if you're like my friend Bob and you missed the first episode, go back to scifithoughts.space and you can enter in the episode number or description and it will find those episodes for you. We've got the goodies, and they're in the show notes. So if you're using a podcast player, they show up right there in the user interface for easy peasy access. But hey, if you didn't use a podcast player and you downloaded the MP3 from a website, go back to the website and you will see on that page the show notes. And there you will see links to the three-body problem, some more information about Kindio, and anything else that we could drum together, like some science background on the three-body problem, and whatever other thing we dreamed up. Next episode, Mark and I continue discussing Netflix's three-body problem.
The 10-cent version was 30 episodes for book one, and this one is 5 episodes. So that tells you how much was cut or just changed around. So I think what they're trying to do is they know book one is slow. They cut out everything that was unnecessary to get us to the Sofon reveal, because that's the big thing, right? And after that, I notice it slows down. It slows back down to like the level of the book. There's a thing within the three-body community which nobody knows how to pronounce any of the names or anything, and I think if we did a recurring podcast, it would be nice, it would be refreshing to have people who would know, like, at least the cultural background and how to pronounce people's names, and we could also be that bridge between the Chinese community and the, if you bring in like some Chinese people related to the book, then we could be that bridge between them and the English fan base, you know? So now I feel like there's no connection between them.